Where do you go when your world changes? How was it for you when you finished school? Perhaps left home for the first time. I know when I had graduated from high school and was getting ready to go to college, I had all my things packed in my car. I was excited to get going, a new chapter of life, new frontiers. My parents were standing next to the car with tears in their eyes. It was a different chapter for them that was beginning. Many of us have the experience of moving to a different country. It's a new frontier that brings a lot of excitement with it, but also a number of challenges. Dealing with a new culture, a new language, a new task, studies, a new job, many, many possibilities of tasks. But, of course, finding new friends, keeping in touch with our friends who are now very far away and with our family. Those are also new frontiers that we have to face sometimes that pose great challenges for our lives. Now, most of us who have had the experience of moving to a different country will have had the option of doing so. We weren't forced to move by wars or famine, okay, or parents. Have to throw that one in there. Have to be being kept honest this evening. But even though most of us didn't make our moves because of war, we still have a certain understanding of what it's like to have to confront a new frontier, whether you want to or not. See, you don't have to have moved to a different country to be confronted with new frontiers, and you most certainly don't have to have moved to a different country to be confronted with new frontiers that you didn't ask for. In the Old Testament, we find a short book called Ruth. Ruth is, actually it's a beautiful story. It doesn't take very long to read, and it's a very captivating story. It's not like the genealogies that you find in other places where you just read a whole bunch of names that are hard to pronounce. Ruth is an easy read, and I'm going to summarize the story here for us, but I would really encourage you to read the story of Ruth, even if you've already read it before. It's very well worth rereading. But Ruth was a young lady from the land of Midian. And when I say young lady, we have to perhaps clarify what's meant, because back in those days in the Middle East, it was typical that a young lady would marry basically after she had gone through puberty. So 13, 14 years old was nothing unusual. 16 was actually relatively late to be getting married, something that in our culture is unthinkable, but for them that was fairly normal. And Ruth married into a family that had come from Israel. They had gone to Midian from Israel because of a famine, because there hadn't been enough food to eat. And she married this young Israelite. But as frequently happens, unfortunately, they experienced a lot of hardship. Her father-in-law died, her brother-in-law died, and her husband died. So her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, and herself were all three left as widows without any children. Now at that time, children were the Social Security and retirement program. And so without anybody, a male or a child, to secure your future, you had pretty bad cards. And that's the situation that Naomi, the mother-in-law, and the two daughters-in-law found themselves to be in. And Naomi decided that she was going to return to her homeland. She was going to go back to Israel. And told her daughters-in-law, you go back to your father's homes. Go back there where you came from so that they can find new husbands for you. And at first, both of them objected and said, no, no, we're staying with you. But then one of them said, okay, I'm going to return home. And Naomi said to Ruth, you see that your sister-in-law has returned to her father's house. You should go too. And Ruth was adamant. No, I am not going to leave you. And interestingly, in this context, we find some words that are fairly well known as far as Bible texts from the Old Testament go. In Ruth chapter 1, we find Ruth saying, or I guess it starts out with Naomi speaking to Ruth. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Where have you heard these words before? At weddings. Yeah. Admittedly, they were used at Steffi's and my wedding as well. Her uncle who preached the sermon pointed out that he said in that context, we're going to inadmissibly put it off to the side that that was one woman talking to another. Yeah, we use these words at weddings because they are a very good description of the commitment that a man and a woman give to each other when they marry, and yet the words were actually spoken from a widowed daughter-in-law to her widowed mother-in-law, somebody who could have returned. Another part of the wedding saying is, till death do us part. Well, death had parted Ruth from her husband. She was free to go, but she said to her mother-in-law, no, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be there to take care of you no matter what. But we cannot underestimate what this meant for Ruth. She was going into new frontiers in every regard of life. She was going to a different country where they speak a different language, where they have a different culture, and something that at that time was particularly different from country to country, serve a different God. She will have known of the God of Israel, of Yahweh, from her family that she married into, but in Midian, they worshiped other gods, and Naomi said to her, return to your family and to your gods. And Ruth said, your God shall be my God. Ruth did something most of us would not want to do, but she had something that the circumstances couldn't take away from her. She had faith. Hers was a rather blind faith because she didn't know Yahweh, the God of Israel, very well when she left. She certainly didn't have a theological education. According to our standards, she probably had no education whatever. But faith is an incredible asset. Yes, we need to have a certain faith that the government of wherever we live is going to be sure to keep law and order so that we can lead an at least halfway reasonable life. That varies from country to country. It varies from person to person as to what they understand under a halfway reasonable way of life. We have to have faith in ourselves, that we are up to the challenges we will be facing. We have to find some sort of inner strength there. I don't think that we can completely discount that. It's an important thing. But God, and yes, I'm talking about the God of Israel, I'm talking about Yahweh, invites us to have faith in Him. This is a difficult step for many people, because putting our faith in a God that we cannot see, in one that many people around us deny even exists, that's a challenge. But several people here, myself included, can tell you, the God Ruth put her faith in did not let her down. He didn't spare her hard times and challenges, but he did carry her through them. And this offer is there for each one of us as well. At this point, let me come back to the question that I posed at the very beginning. Where do you go when your world changes? Many of these changes are ones that we didn't want. When someone gets sick and dies, when a relationship falls apart, you lose your job that you thought was going to be providing for you for many years to come, when financial pressure seems to be squeezing the air out of your lungs, where do you stand when your whole world seems to be shaking like a leaf? Ruth came to know a God who provided for her. His provision doesn't always look the same, but he is always the same. And he will never leave you, even when you head into the darkest frontier. This God sent his son, Jesus, into the darkest frontier, death and separation from his father. This frontier was truly black as night. But if you send light into darkness, who wins out? In the New Testament, we read about Jesus. In the first words of the Gospel of John, we find these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." It's amazing. If you go into a very large room where there are no lights on, everything's pitch black, and you light one little candle, the entire room has light. Darkness cannot defeat light. And God knows that there's a lot of darkness that we face in our lives, that a lot of the frontiers that we face aren't easy. But he is there with his light, and he invites us to put our faith in him, to trust him, that he's going to be there. And sometimes he only sheds his light on a little bitty path right in front of us that we can take the next step. And hey, I know myself, I'm often like, God, how about if you project that out there so I can see a long way? I want to know what's coming. And he says, no, this light here, that's enough. Take the next step and trust me. And it is truly a challenge to grow in faith, to let that trust in him grow. But this is his invitation to us, that we see that he gives us a solid foundation that we can build our lives on, that when everything else seems to be falling apart, when the rest of the world seems to be shaking like a leaf, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He invites each of us to the new frontier, but one that is filled with light and life. And frankly, that's why we do Fuel. We do Fuel because we want to invite people into the light. We want to encourage people to come together to hear about the love that Jesus has for us, to hear about the sacrifice that he made for us, to be able to come together and hear the music, but also think about what those words are saying to us, to invite you to grow in faith. It's my hope and prayer that whatever frontiers you may encounter in life, that you realize you don't have to go there alone. The God who created you, he also loves you, and he goes with you. He wants to accompany you each and every step. Amen.